the society we can just provide for free to everyone. And we should all work together to make that better, instead of having individual groups saying, no, buy mine. Let me market my books to you. It's not that it's bad to market books. It's that this shouldn't interfere with having a really, it's already fabulous, the best possible primary education for everyone. So we should find people who want to promote that. And that's all they need to do, is promote the idea, support it, be willing to talk about it. And then we can put them in touch with volunteers and technical people who will have questions for them. They'll say, okay, we're going to go and teach physics. Where do we need to start? Who should we talk to? We found this physics curriculum sitting in the Massachusetts state requirements list. And it's from 96, it's pretty good. What can we find that's out there? What would you use? Or who do you know who's really good, who's teaching young kids? Mm-hmm. Who's thinking about project-based physics learning? Not just textbook and problem-based learning.
Okay.
And we're happy to go in and pull these things out and do the format conversions and make them work in a given different platform. Make the libraries of tools that we'll need to do digitization, not just scanning, but actually making it possible to fill out problems, mm-hmm. or fill out worksheets, do reports on your project, capture video and photos and upload them, share them somehow. We want to do that. Tell us, give us a direction. And the direction should come from this body of advisors, educational fellows, whatever we decide to call them. So that's what I would ask professors for.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask students and volunteers, on the other hand, again, if they want to build this collection. And you don't ask them to do something that's really hard for them, which is to go and research existing standards and how to do things.
Yeah.
And guess how they would want to teach based on their year of being a TA.
So the volunteers on the ground, are they, what else are they doing besides sort of asking these professors that might be able to guide them, how are they instituting the sort of feedback that they might get? And, how are they sharing that and how are they collaborating on that?
One thing we discussed today is the idea of having volunteers document people behaving within their skill set, like people with professional skills in mechanics, necessarily doctors, that gets a little dangerous, but people with various skills like documenting it and just trying to compose sort of manuals or diagrams.
Not sure I quite followed. All the manuals and diagrams?
No, it was just something for the relatively raw volunteer to do, as to document various procedures, like skill procedures. Based upon the activity that people
should have done. It was discussed that one of the techniques that the Commonwealth of Learning likes to do is to get teachers who aren't used to teaching to describe what they do to get a job done. Mm-hmm. Sort of how you would define an apprenticeship and just write out a story and then have someone help them and try and map the story and onto the kinds of official objectives that people normally associate with a course or a class.
So how can we be of assistance to this in conjunction with the IS2K7 conference? Because what kind of working group, what kind of focus for it?
So I think a great working group would be one that defines how to matchmake. What professors need to feel that they're part of this movement, and what students need to feel that they're being productive and to actually produce these descriptions. Not necessarily full curricula, just enough of a description that a green teacher can get started and make the rest. And
well, this PIDF program that we have at Harvard, I think, has a tremendous amount of exactly that experience. The question is who to make it available to and in what form to make it available. They've actually gone through the process now for, I think, 3 years of running a middling system that connects teachers and students with them learning just what each needs in order to make it workable for the other.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that defining the space of interesting materials and trying to make sure that there are enough teachers, there are enough pairs to cover the space, that's not such an easy task. And that's something that...
I mean, for a given curricular line of development, you know, we're going to try and teach math.
Right.
So we need enough math teachers so that we really get some kind of coverage and develop something that has coherence all the way through.
Yes. And even starting with really simple things, such as literacy. Teaching literacy is not as easy as it sounds. And one of the side effects is that you'll find lots of schools in places where there are a half dozen NGOs who have come and brought educational materials. And the teachers will still say, they don't have great literacy materials. They'll say, we have something. It's not really what kids like. If only we had X, and they could go down a list. Maybe they don't have good audio, or the only materials they have someone with an accent. They can't get a native accent, and they don't speak natively. That's not so much for literacy as for language learning. If you're trying to learn Spanish or French or English or one of the major world languages.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately have to run. I have to go pick up my wife and take her to dinner.
Oh, lovely. So I think this is the hard part that major universities can resolve. And not so much universities as networks of respected
teachers.
Uh-huh. They have personal friends who can answer the question for their fields. If they say it matters to focus on children and get this network of courses right for a young audience, people will start thinking about that and not just about university materials. And whatever they say, people will listen to. And students will love to work with them. They'll feel so honored. They won't be lost trying to do something new. There'll be a nice name to the task they've taken on.
Well, look, I'm delighted with this. I just think it's wonderful. I feel like it needs... There's something to be done, that's clear. Just the best way to do it with the tools that we have available. How to structure a work group, who invite to it, who's telling who what, toward what end, and what's the output of it to be.
So Esther and I had talked about earlier this week was getting a handful of professors first involved in this and getting them interested in talking to volunteers and developing these materials, and then sort of forming a working group around that once we sort of have a few base professors on board and established, and then where to go from there in terms of how to structure the program and how to maybe connect this PIT type of person in this. I don't know if that's the way you saw it, or...
Yes. I think if we can get three or four really well-known people, well-known educators who are fabulous scientists and researchers, but also great popularizers, they know what it means to reach their audience. Mm-hmm. Some people from the education school who thought about this and are interested in project-based learning, and not just traditional standards, but know both and are respected for both.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get some students who have been active in maybe TA training, some of the really good TAs, people who have picked up some of the teaching awards, and they naturally know one another. I mean, people who work at the Derek Bach Center, and get them in a room together and say, okay, let's break this into three or five areas. Let's have subgroup groups and really quickly sketch out what this might look like in each area.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can actually get feedback from one or two people who have done it for the field.
Yeah.
And said, we tried it, this is what was hard, here's who we got to help us, here's how long we think it will take. And then you can ask hard questions like, could you distribute this more if you wanted to do this faster, or if you wanted to get more students involved? Where could they help out?
Yeah. And I think those are good working questions, like, for that's on the there too.
Do the professors become the ones who format the material, or is that someone else is doing
it? I think it's mostly with the students and the technical.
I unfortunately have to go. But it's wonderful. Thank you for showing me around the place, showing me the tree.
You're welcome.
Opening this whole world up to us. It's terrific.
Sorry it took so long for you to come, did it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Me too.
And we had a good discussion before you came about how to get scratch on the laptops. So I think that's
Rebecca, that was her first words when I came in. She said, SJ says scratch is going to be in the laptop. I think it's the key. I really do think it's the key. I think when you understand that what these things can do is program a world full of people who have never had opportunity before to be coders. The idea of having millions of coders in the developing world is just totally awesome.
Maybe the code can do anything. It's not just programming.
Once they learn, it's a whole way of thinking. It's just, it's really good. All right, great. Thank you.
See you again soon.
Nice to meet you, Adam. Meet you. See you, Emma. Thank you.
I'm heading
out. All right,
how are you doing? Nice to see you.
Nice to say hi.
Great. How's things going with you?
It's pretty good. We were just talking about it. This is the first hour of my April vacation.
And you will be at MIT next year.
Good. What are you doing?
So he's not leaving us in Boston, which is good.
That's very good.
Community here. Thank you for coming.
Pleasure.
We catch you. Thank you for coming. Are you available this week? I don't know.
Pretty much. We're here.
Okay.
For a night of
Oh, great. Okay. Well, should we grab dinner Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night?
I'll put it to front. Have her pick a day.
Okay, great. Yeah, please do.
All right, cool.
Okay.
See you. Thanks. Charles Nesson.
Charles Nesson. Okay, nice to meet you.
Tell me yours.
Todd, I work with some of the multilingual and language stuff on the apps. Okay.
Great.
Nice to meet you.
It's really wonderfully exciting. I saw a project just the other day, which basically does subtitles of any video in any language.
I'm doing some research on instant messaging in different languages. And we're going to try to hook up to Google's translation memory to work on some of that. Do you have a web page that shows some of your interests? Or?
Well, it's the Berkman Center.
The Berkman Center? Okay. All right. Well, nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Ted.